Welcome back to the WKEI Morning Show. It is time for our People to People program, and joining us live in the studio is Rayanne Tucker with the Henry and Stark County Health Department. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
So let's talk about yesterday. The registration went very smoothly.
Yes, relatively speaking, yes. The thing is, we had another opening for first dose clinic that we're having this Friday at our site at Black Hawk East campus. We had 700 spots, and those were filled in a little over an hour. The system worked on it very well. It did not become overwhelmed at all. A lot of times people are saying, well, the last time you had it, it crashed. That's a verbiage that isn't actually true. The site didn't crash last time. It just got overwhelmed because there's so much demand. So yesterday, yes, we still put out 700 shots. We'll do 700 shots on Friday. So that's huge. And again, kudos to our staff and the Office of Emergency Management that were able to do that. So all those people were taken care of and registered all in a little over an hour. That means there's no paper trail. You will get an email confirming that. All you have to do is bring your ID with you. And it's all pretty much done now. You just show up. So actually, we're playing catch up. We had last Friday the postponed clinic that was originally set for the 19th, and we postponed it to the 26th. That was a first dose clinic. But we're playing catch up from the weather. Now, if we can just keep getting those shipments, we really do want to get to the point where weekly we have a set day like Monday. You know, you would call in and we would have that enrollment every Monday, and then a second dose enrollment a certain day of the week.
Right.
But that is still the reason, and if anybody's frustrated when they go to our website and say, I want to enroll, but you don't have enrollment open, I get it. I completely get it. The thing is we can't go through all of the effort and the huge effort. If anyone has been out to our drive-through clinic, that's a lot of manpower. It's a lot of supplies. It's not just a simple undertaking to do 700 doses or 500 doses in a single day. So we only want to schedule those if we know we're going to get that vaccine. And this has been a problem that's plaguing all providers. And that's what we knew would happen when we have the two-dose administration. But that is something that we've been talking about. In fact, last week there was a call with all the county health departments and IDPH and the state of Illinois. And it's been a conundrum with the two doses. Like I said, we do not want to get a person started on the series if they can't finish it out.
Right.
A lot of providers and people will say, well, why don't you give us that second appointment when we get the first? And that's because we still have to have a little time movement based on shipments. A lot of people will say, you know, I went to this pharmacy, I went to this provider, and they gave me an appointment. That's great. That's their system. We have unfortunately been seeing across the state other providers defaulting. And when people went to confirm their appointment or went to their appointment for their second dose, it wasn't there. We don't want that to happen. So this is a system. No system is perfect. It's going to constantly be tweaked, but we'll all get people through it. One thing that happened last week was the second dose clinic and people now registering for their second dose. And that can be confusing for people. So again, I would remind you, if you have gotten your first dose and you have not set your appointment for your second dose yet, again, take a look at that date you got your first dose. Okay, add 28 days to it, circle that date. Now add 42 days to that date and circle that, and that is your window. A lot of people last week could have got a appointment for the 10th or the 17th.
Right.
They can't get in the 10th, that filled up. From people that probably could do the 3rd or the 10th. People are kind of freaking out a little. And we're like, no, hold on. You can say, what if, what if, what if, what if? What if I can't get in on the 17th? What happens then? Let's just take this a time, you know, one step at a time. We'll open up probably registration. We'll make an announcement probably early next week when we will open on the 17th. And hopefully week thereafter, we will have a set time for people to enroll. Again, people message us. That's fine. I will answer them. You can call the OEM. We will get you through. I'm amazed and I'm glad that people are trying to be cognizant of doing the series correctly. That's great. But there's so many people that bring such anxiety to it. Just calm. Don't worry about anything other than you getting your shots. Don't worry about what someone else is doing. Don't worry about how someone else is scheduling their appointment. We will get to where we have to go. Believe you me. We don't want you to default on your series. There is some gray area. There is some padding in those dates. So it's not just fixed. So I would say, people, it's easy for me to say, I know, but just try to relax, stay calm, and you'll get your second dose. We'll all be moving forward. It's just always some kind of a challenge, and just trying to impart that. Even people, as they're listening to me today, they're like, Rand, you're confusing me. I get it. I mean, it's not easy. But on the horizon, we do see good news with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And hopefully that is going to be something that starts to filter in. And the ease of the one dose administration,
right?
I think is going to be a great call just for even some of the younger populations, the not so at risk individuals. So again, this is going to be constantly changed. I was just saying something to you before we went on the air that one thing I do this time of year is we work on our annual report, and it seems literally like 3 years in this last year. And I'm looking at a timeline that I made up during the spring for a presentation, and really literally at this time of year last year, on the timeline that I had, actually it was February 29th, so it was that leap year, but you could basically say March 1st, which was yesterday, we had our first U.S. death on American soil.
Hmm.
Go ahead a year and over 500,000 deaths.
Wow.
It's scary still. I get why people have anxiety and are, you know, worried about getting their vaccine. We want to return to normal. The fact is our normal right now is a lot different than it was last year at this time. But our numbers are looking good now. But we have a few blips on the horizon. We have some great things on the horizon, like the vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson one-dose vaccine. But we also have some causes for concern still. We know that COVID mutates. We know that it changes its tactics. And we have to kind of look ahead to that. The spring is coming. People are dealing with COVID fatigue. I'm already seeing disturbing trends of people not doing mitigation, literally wanting to throw off their masks and not be as vigilant. That will only increase our numbers because,
right.
A, we haven't vanquished it yet. We do not have that community immunity yet set. And the fact is we have variants and mutations of the virus on the horizon that are cause for concern. So you're going to see, as we start getting more vaccine, we'll start to change our promotion to getting people who have been hesitant with the vaccine to get the vaccine, and also reiterating mitigation. I've already heard some disturbing things out in the community at some of these businesses that have been very much hurt by rollbacks, already flouting mitigation. How many waves do we have to go over before we learn our lesson?
Yeah.
And I don't want to be the bad cop. Don't make us be the bad cop again. You know, but when people, you would think, especially those businesses that have been so detrimentally affected by rollbacks, would say, hey, I've got my opening, but I'm going to do it right. I need to protect these numbers. And what are we hearing? There are some bad apples out there, and I don't want them to spoil it for the whole bunch. So if you're ever anywhere and you're like, this is not good, this is not good behavior, please express that to the management and get out of that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that we know what causes infection rates to increase in our communities, throughout the state, throughout the nation. And to a great point, it's apathy. So we don't want that to happen. We need to protect these numbers right now while we can.
Right, absolutely. Now, what are some of the misconceptions people have about the process of registration?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so first off, a lot of times people will say, I don't like, because it's, you know, it's online driven. Pretty much everything's online driven. Even some of the pharmacies you have to check in, Hy-Vee, some of the Walgreens and the others, although I can't speak definitely for all of their systems, we're already hearing that's just part and parcel of where we're at in our world. We do have a way of helping some of the people out there that are not techno savvy, some of the older population. We implore people that do not feel as confident on a computer registering to get a family member. And really, most family members have risen to the call. If you, however, still don't have a family member, we do have some good news on the horizon, and that is that the alternatives for the older adults, even locally, has the ability to help some older people register online. So please give our office a call or the Alternatives for the Older Adults agency in our community. And if you are a person who has a barrier as far as the online registration, they can probably help you out. So that's one thing. Another thing people don't understand, especially if they kind of look on social media and they might see comments on our page that this is a bad system or this system is easier. The fact of the matter is we don't really talk about the numbers that we've done. But yesterday alone, in an hour, we got 700 people that are going to get their first time shot this Friday. We have been to all the schools. We are doing so well on the essential workers. We are using a tried and true plan, really the envy of the entire state. Matt and his staff has done an awesome job. A lot of times we just get it done. We don't want to make a lot of to-do about it, but literally for every negative comment, you have to understand there are thousands of people that have received their shots, are actually done with the series. Does it cause what we are seeing? Last week alone, I saw a lot of articles nationwide just on this thing that's now cropped up, and it's called vaccine envy, which is the frustration of seeing someone in the community getting their vaccine and being done, and maybe you wanting it and not being able to get it. I get it. That's just human nature. If we could give the vaccine to everybody simultaneously and be done with it, we would. It's just not physically possible. So you have to look at different things like where are these infections coming from in our communities? And yeah, a lot of them were in congregate working settings, like essential workers or school systems. So there is a reason. The shipments hopefully will start flowing, but we literally, for every bad comment, there are thousands of people that are going through our clinics each and every day in a wonderfully orderly fashion. And I thank those people that have chimed in and sung our praises, because it can be debilitating when you're just literally working almost 24 hours a day and you feel like you're only getting negativity thrown your way, and yet you're putting in so much time and effort in literally all the elements that Mother Nature can throw at us. So hopefully that's something that is going to get better too.
Like again, with the good news that the number of cases is going down, that continues to be a thing. Whether or not it stays that way, you know, is a big question. Obviously, the weather played a role in keeping people home, which did maybe perhaps help a little bit. But now people are getting back out. They're going back out, and some of them are, you know, going without mitigation.
Absolutely. And we've even seen it anecdotally through the health department. We had a discussion that, yeah, we have in some ways we've made strides to normalcy, and we're seeing schools maybe moderating and doing more in-house and not so much remote learning and looking to that. Sports are starting to take place, and yet we also found out over the weekend that the season ended rather abruptly for a couple of local sports teams, and the reason was they did not follow the mitigation, and it opened themselves up to infections. So it does remind people. It's not just one of those things you see a player and the mask is slipping, but if you look at a game and all their masks are slipping, and yeah, I get it, it's hard, and I can't even imagine having to administer that and patrol that, but mitigation's there for a reason. And these are tried and true methods, and we have to follow them because I get it, especially young kids and people in schools and people that want to do their sports. They want to be out there. They want to get on the field. They have to follow these rules. And if you follow the rules, you really do get a certain level of protection of an abrupt stop. But unfortunately, if you don't follow them, you leave yourself at risk. And we're seeing that. So again, I've been saying this since last year at this time. Please follow the mitigation. Please do what we're supposed to be doing. And that's masking when in public and in congregate settings, washing your hands, observing social distancing. It's still going to be a while before we can really build up that percentage of immunity through the vaccines in our communities, in our states, and in our nation. We will get there, but we all literally, I know it sounds trite that we have to work together, but we really do. And again, it is that what I said earlier, you don't want a few bad apples ruining it for everybody. It can be debilitating when you're doing your darndest and you and your family are affecting these mitigations and you're sick of them, you know, and but you're doing your part. And then you're turning around when you go pick up some food somewhere or you finally allow yourself to go out to eat and you see something going on out there and you're like, oh no, you know,
yeah.
I get it. We're all human. But I want businesses to stay open. I don't want to go through another wave. And so we all have to do our part to protect that.
All right. Well, Ray and Tucker, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean.